This is college football at its absolute best.
Yeah, they had us the first half, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, could be Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh!
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby!
Them orange britches! Something about them orange britches!
Ball hit high in the air into right field, going back to Sayre, and Tennessee can say hello, win column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
Bruce McGrath for the win. He got it.
If you don't like college football, and you watch this one, I'm not sure what your problem is.
Reddit did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Wednesday, April 17th. Thank you all for tuning in a day early. It is concert week in my life. Two concerts this week.
So that was last
appreciate
one.
It. Incredible. Just he's a performer. He's an artist. I've been to two Tyler shows, and they've all been excellent.
Who are you going to see tomorrow?
Houndmouth, the Mill and Mine.
I thought another when Raven said who's he going to see, I was like, it's probably somebody I've never heard of, and yeah,
you've heard of Houndmouth. You might not have known.
I've heard you probably say the name, but I've definitely never heard. I've never heard a song.
Promise you, you've heard a song.
Are they folky too?
No, they're an alt rock jazzy band. Okay. I mean, I just know that you've been in places that it's played, so I know you have.
Okay, I wouldn't be able to point it out. There's no show.
That's fair. Sedona, the song Sedona, that's Houndmouth. You might know that song.
Okay,
I won't sing it for you. I did see someone. This was going to be one of my stupidities. Just while we're mentioning it, someone said Tyler tries way too hard to sound like that. And I guess I could see that, but I hope that person's not a country fan, because every country artist that I know now has the fakest country accent of all.
Doesn't everybody, like, to sound good and authentic, don't you have to try hard at that?
I think he's saying the voice that he sings with, but I do see what you're saying. I think, for example, we'll out one guy here. I really hear him trying, Morgan Wallen, to sound country in his songs.
Yeah. Well, it's like you hear him in high school, you're like, you didn't have that same accent.
Yeah. I wasn't going to go there, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic show. Shout out to, you know, you grow up, they tell you not to meet people on the internet, but I picked up a ticket from Kevin Vallone, good friend of the pod.
Yeah.
A couple tailgates, stuff like that, and went with him and met my friends on the internet, and I love it. So
yeah, it's awesome.
Meet strangers, guys.
A true love story.
Hang out with strangers. But yeah, so thank you all for coming to us a night early. I say all that to say thank you for coming to us tonight early. And that reminded me of another thing I was going to tell you. We're not the only ones who tangent. Tyler was just thanking everybody for being there and then ended up on a 3-minute tangent in the middle of the show. And it was awesome.
Nice.
So we're not the only ones. We just do it a lot. And I love it.
Yeah.
I hope
you clicked on it. You're stuck now.
Yeah. I tweeted about it. I hope he went to the baseball game before, because he was definitely put onto a show himself.
Say that again.
I hope he was at the baseball game before. Like, I hope he just, you know, had a porch before the game. Maybe ate dinner out there, got a dog in him.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and just saw bombs.
Yeah, saw that Blake Burke. I mean, if you're not fired up and ready for a concert after Blake Burke hits a freaking Grand Slam tank, then I don't know what you're doing.
And I know we're going to talk baseball, but we talked about this last night. Where is this team at pace-wise with the 2022 team, who was dubbed by some people, mostly us, the home run kings? They have to be close, if not ahead.
They're definitely not ahead.
Really? They were at 99 going into the game, weren't they?
Yeah, they're at 101 right now.
Oh, then they weren't 99 going into it. They got to 99 at some point in the game.
Yeah.
What'd that team finish with? That's what we need to know.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay. Let me know, because I am curious. I want to say they finished in like the 158. That's what they finished
with. Yep, 158. Yep.
So I don't know where we're at throughout the season. That's difficult.
Yeah, and like pitching's just going to get better as you go. You know, less games you play at home, obviously, less weaker opponents you play in the midweek. Yeah, just stuff like that. And you're kind of sitting some guys right now in the midweek, so you're not really at – you know, you didn't even have Christian Moore play last night. So some guys are getting some rest for those midweek games. So it's going to be close. I mean, here's the thing that I think is helping is Blake Burke and Christian Moore keep deciding, like, no, I want it. No, I want it. And so they might will us to pass in that 2022 team.
How many games have we played so far this season?
37.
Obviously, like you said, because this team played into Super Regionals. They played 66 game total. You said we played 37 and we're at 101 right now?
Yeah.
This team's barely ahead of pace.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that looks like with, like you said, compared to where they were at in the season. I don't know where that stands, but right now they are ahead of pace.
I mean, here's the good thing about that is, like, you get to the postseason, the way that this team's playing right now, you should be hosting a regional and a super regional.
And those balls fly, baby. And
those balls fly.
I mean, the hitting's contagious. It's so contagious. Charlie Taylor's got he came down with a little, home run fever.
Little ding dong.
Yeah.
And I think every game, I don't know this for sure, but every game that Colby Backus gets into, he hits a home run. That's what it seems like anyway.
That's a death taxes and Colby Backus hitting a home run. I saw the Charlie Tater tweet get fired off. I was like, no way. They're just he hit like one into the wall and it's Charlie Taylor, so you say it. No. Yes. He went deep, man.
Put one in somebody's cooler on the porches out there.
At what point in the night do you think Bellarmine said, maybe we should have done the run rule?
Probably that inning where Tennessee hit three home runs. What was that, the second or third?
Yeah, I get the idea. You want to get guys in there, but at what point are you just like, all right, we have led the pigs to slaughter.
Yeah, probably when Blake Burke hit that grand slam, you're like, all right, we're good.
Yeah, round them up.
Yeah.
Hey, we're hurt. Hey, one of my guys in the dugout just got COVID, so we're gonna just go home.
We all have COVID.
Yeah,
just tested.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Credit to them, though. I like it. I like the run rule's nice for weeknight games. I hate it in SEC play. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean it. You can jump on teams in a hurry and get to that 10 run mark before you even know it.
Yeah.
And the way teams are able to score so much in an inning, it's like, yeah, I mean, after seven, I guess that's a good lead. But at the same time, it's like there's still a lot of game left to come back.
How is SEC run rule implemented? I know teams agree to it in midweek. Is it just a conference rule?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, that's dumb. I could understand Sunday games.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, if Sunday's a rubber match, if I'm a coach, I don't want to run rule on.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it like you save some pitching maybe for next week, but still, like, they have a week.
That, and I mean, if the game's still happening in your mind, you still have a chance.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks to be like, you obviously want to win that game. You run rule and get them out. You don't use any more of your pitching. But you're also not getting deeper into somebody else's bullpen.
Yeah. And I feel like with – it's even weirder. I get the idea of it. Don't get me wrong. In SEC play, it's even weirder, though, in a sport like baseball. I would almost understand it in more in a basketball or a football context because there's a time limit to the game. Yeah. Whereas baseball, you know you're going to get X amount of outs, X amount of pitches. Like, you know, it's not like 3 minutes left in the game, an offense can run the ball and run the clock out.
Yeah, I would like it more maybe if it was like a 15 runs instead of 10.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah. I think what they're trying to do, like, with the run rule, they're trying to save teams from beating, like, the midweek games, like, 25 – or, like, last night, 20-5.
Right.
They're trying to save a lot of that. But those shouldn't happen that much in conference play.
Yeah, they shouldn't. You're right. I feel like we've seen quite a few run rules, though, not just Tennessee, across the conference.
Yeah. And I think it's more than normal. The amount of runs that the SEC is putting up. I mean, the amount of home runs, too.
It's a hitter's ball, man. We know it. We talked to Xander himself said it.
Yeah. And Pav said it, too. It's the balls.
Yeah. We gotta do something about these.
Yeah.
Not really. I like it.
Yeah, it's fun.
I do like having – conspiracy theory, though. They had a rock hard ball in there.
I wonder at what point are they going to be like, we're losing so much money in baseballs. Let's make them way worse where we never lose one.
Is it Tennessee games that you can turn them in and get something, though? Or is that minor leagues?
Yeah, maybe minor league. Maybe Tennessee does. I know foul ball. You can do the foul ball thing. I don't remember what you get. But yeah, I'm not turning that thing. Dude. As a little kid, baseball's the best thing you can get.
But if you got a Petro?
As a kid?
You didn't like Petros as a kid?
Yeah, but I'd much rather have a baseball.
Yeah, but you get one, that second foul ball. If you get a second foul ball, you're taking a Petro.
Yeah. You get both of them. Yeah.
So that's how you solve running out of balls. Just give out Petros.
Just nachos in general. I mean,
yeah, anything with cheese on it, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, last night was fun. It was I obviously didn't get to watch the game, but keeping up with it. It was fun to watch the score just keep growing, and then you have everyone getting in on the action of home run, after Charlie Taylor home run. It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt good. Big series coming up this week.
Yeah.
Can we go ahead and get into that since we're in baseball?
Let's do it. Yeah, and we talked about it a little bit on Sunday, just kind of – we just mentioned as it approached. Kind of feels like roles are – speaking of 2022, kind of feels like roles are reversed a little bit. You get to go play spoiler for this team.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I mean, that's gotta be on some of those players' mind, like, Blake Burke and Christian Moore, guys who were on that roster, Kwarce Tears there, Hunter Ensley. You went in there thinking, oh, easy series, let's bring out the black jerseys. And then just got toasted.
I didn't even think about that. Do they bring out the black jerseys for this series at all?
I don't know. I think I'm good on them. But yeah, like that's got to be in those guys' mind. You know, you get a chance to go to their place again and get your revenge. And, you know, again, like you said, play spoiler. A team that's, are they 17-1 in the conference?
Is it one or two? I know they have at least one loss. I can't remember if it's one or two.
Yeah. Yeah, they only have one loss. I think they're 17-1 in the conference right now.
Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri. But yeah, they're a really good baseball team. I mean, they don't really have any like stars. They're just pretty solid. They play a lot of small ball. They do a good job of hitting the baseball. They don't strike out a lot. Their pitchers are, you know, their park is kind of a pitcher's park. And then you add that with the cold weather, it helps them, because they don't have a lot of guys hitting a lot of home runs. They have one guy that has double digit home runs. I think they have two guys that have over five home runs. So it's just not a team that, you know, uses the long ball like Tennessee does, but they steal a lot of bases. They're going to do sack bunts and, hit and runs and, you know, all that kind of stuff that Tennessee does not do. But they're scoring a lot of runs. I mean, they won 17-13 last night against Louisville. So I think they're outscoring opponents like 225 to 100. So they're usually doubling teams up. Now they've kind of had a schedule kind of like Tennessee has, and like not really faced that top tier of SEC teams. Right. Like, I guess Tennessee and Kentucky are now in that conversation, but when you're talking about Arkansas and Texas A&M and Florida, they haven't faced them yet. So should be a fun series. If you get to go, I hope you enjoy it. I've never been to a game up there, but apparently the new stadium is really nice. And, you know, they've done a good job with that program.
But, yeah. Weather's probably the last time we checked on Sunday, it was going to suck. I haven't checked it again. So good luck, I guess, if you do go.
Yeah, it's going to be in like mid 50s, 40s, something like that. So not a great weekend for baseball, but I mean, we've played in worse so far this season. So
yeah,
be used to it by now.
Did you see the Bill Martin stat that was tweeted out today? I just saw it.
The Grand Slam. About
Grand Slams. Did we mention that? I don't think so.
No. Yeah, we hit our 10th one last night, right?
10th one last night. 15th. That's the fifth most in a season, but the those that are ahead of you are through 65 games, 66 games, and 68 games, which is weird. It doesn't feel like we've hit 10 grand slams
by 9 different players, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow, even wilder, honestly. Yeah. I'd if you had just said how many grand slams we've hit this year, I probably would have said half that is what it feels like.
I know every time that I came up to bat with the bases loaded, I was just praying to God I didn't strike out. I was so nervous, but it seems like when Tennessee's, you know, when they get up with the bases loaded, it's like, yeah, I'm going to go out here and it's like a home run derby. It's like, how far can I hit this one?
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild that we're probably more likely to hit a home run with bases loaded than hit a single. I don't know if that's true. That's what it seeing that we've hit 10, that's what it feels like. Yeah. At that point, you're just like, I guess we'll walk him.
Mm-hmm.
Can we walk and put two? They statistically score more with three on. Can we send two guys home on this walk? Is that possible?
Yeah.
He can move the guy to third. That's fine. We don't want three on right now.
Right. Yeah, should be fun. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to kind of see what. I haven't watched Kentucky this year, so I don't really know much about them other than they, you know, hit it well. I think they have one guy that's batting over 400. They have, I think, four batting over 300. So they hit the ball pretty well. No one's kind of – I think the lowest guy they have in their lineup is like 230, something like that. So, you know, all of them pretty consistent and can score some runs. So, you know, Tennessee's got to do a good job of keeping them off the base paths. I think they have one guy that's stolen like 24 bases already this season. I think they've stolen like three times as much as Tennessee has, which Tennessee doesn't steal very much at all. But yeah, that's something that Kentucky's always done and done well at, and they've got guys to kind of fit that mold of what they want. And, you know, so it's going to be a clash of like two styles this weekend.
Right. Right. I'm excited for this, these pitchers to all of them are coming off of a strong weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You're not looking for responses at all. You're just seeing if they can
kind of, to you.
Yeah. You see if they can compound off of what they did last weekend. So other than non-conference, this is the first week I can think where all three, you feel good about kind of going forward in it. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, let's go out there and win a few games, maybe all three. Why not?
Yeah, I felt like there was some pressure like a couple weeks back when you didn't really know who you were going to have with on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And now that Xander and Nate Snead have really held that role down, I feel like there's not as much pressure for, you know, AJ Causey on Friday and Drew Beam on Saturday anymore.
Yeah, and hey, I would love to see Xander in a rubber match, but, you know, also let him go out there and just have a little fun.
Yeah, he looks good with the broom in his hand too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else for baseball before we kind of move on here?
Oh, I don't. I'm ready for it. Let's get it on.
All right. Before we're going to talk some transfer portal, but I've got a transfer offer for you. If you're like me, you go to the store, every, you know, you go grocery shopping and it's time to get some coffee, and maybe you're loyal to some random big box brand that doesn't care about the people around them and who they're serving and all that stuff. Or maybe you get the cheapest stuff on the shelf. I don't know. I don't know how you roll, but I got a transfer offer for you. If you're looking for coffee that works, if you're looking for coffee that gets you up in the morning, if you're looking for coffee that tastes good, you don't, listen, I'm a creamer guy. I don't even need, if I'm out, I still make it in the morning because it's that good. It's grade A grounds, guys. Grade A. A local coffee roasting company in Kingsport, Tennessee, owned and operated by two educators. Those educators in the Johnson City area, they want to support their community and students. They do that by giving 5% of their sales to a nonprofit organization called Coalition for Kids. It's all over the Tri-Cities area. That money goes towards keeping a classroom stocked with necessary supplies needed for students. I'm telling you, you want to win, win, win. Like Michael Scott says, grade A grounds. Get your wake me up in the morning, support your community. Win, 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 win. Guys, go check out Grade A Grounds. Plus, they're great labels that are made by those students. So you're adding a little, you're just, listen, especially if you're a single male like myself, your house isn't decorated nice. Might as well have things that help make your house look nice. Grade A Grounds, these great labels. Guest over, tell them exactly where you got it. Buy them a bag. Send them home with a bag. You can buy bags for everyone. Use promo code GOVALLS. Grade A Grounds. Shout out.
Do it. Dude, bring me back Tobey. Bring him back. Need him.
The longer this goes on, I'm getting.
Yeah. Iffy. I'm too. Yeah. I just like want to know. Like, I understand, like, you might not know everything that goes on, but like, you didn't know, like, Jonas was hopping in already.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if there's a hesitation because you think they're going to over-recruit you either before you come back or when you come back or after you come back. The thing is a coach's job is to over-recruit you every year anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Second off, no duh, they're out there recruiting right now. They don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like Tennessee can't sit here and wait around on Tobey Walker to make a decision to return or not. You got to act like he's not returning.
Yeah,
because you can't just expect him to come back and wait around and not recruit that position as well as you wanted to, and you don't land somebody, and then you're like, oh crap, like we're playing 5 yards.
Yeah,
and yeah. JP Estrella.
Yeah, it's this time isn't fun. I don't understand the transfer portal. I don't understand NIL. I don't understand it all. I think you tweeted it. Apparently that $500,000 offer was real for what's his name? Oregon State running back.
Yeah, Damian Martinez.
I can't imagine Tobey or Jonas's NIL is so high that it brings him away from Tennessee, if that's the reason. We've heard other rumors about why Adu's leaving. If they're true, that really really, really took away from Grant Williams' ability to play in the NBA. So you should transfer. I mean, that's Rick Barnes doesn't know what he's doing in that situation. So you should go. Right. I don't get it. You're getting bad advice if that's the case. If that's the truth, you're getting bad advice. If it's about NIL, I don't understand NIL. I guess go get paid. I don't know. A lot of people, not a lot of people. I've seen a few people that think Tobey would go start at a school in a similar position as Tennessee. No, he won't. He'll be in the same position. If he transfers to a team of equal caliber to Tennessee, he'll be in the same position as he is here.
Yeah.
If you think the grass is greener, call your buddy Olivier. Ask. I don't know what he'll say. Maybe he will say yes still. I don't know. Yeah, I got to imagine he would have liked the idea of playing in the Elite Eight this year, even if he was less minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I know I would, but some people don't like winning. They just like their name in the newspaper, even if it's in the loss column.
Right. And Jonas, I mean, yeah, I guess he wants to shoot more. Cool. But you also like shot 20% from three this year. So it's like, I mean, did we want you to shoot more?
You don't have the green light because you can't make the shots.
Yeah.
It's not that you're being held back by a coach. You don't have the green light because you can't shoot. Yeah, you do need to get that figured out here in the near future. But how does it help you to go miss those shots wearing another jersey?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. And I guess it's the transfer portal just makes you think like, oh, like there's something better for me out there. Oh, I could have a Dalton Connect season if I just go somewhere else. Yeah. And I just wish people would realize, like you said, like the grass is not always greener. I mean, Tyler Barron, is he going to leave Louisville now?
He's already left Ole Miss. I forgot that he played on last year's team when I saw that tweet. I was like, oh, he did just transfer this December. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, yeah, just a few months ago we were seeing him held every other play.
Yeah, forgot Henry Toto left and didn't win a national championship and lost to the team that he transferred from.
And
that's poetry.
Here's kind of a take that doesn't necessarily involve every player and everything, but if you're just seeking a better situation, and better doesn't always mean winning games. Sometimes it's better for you because it's going to put you in a better position for your professional career. But if you're seeking it to get to a school that puts you in a better position to win, typically, now this obviously has exceptions, but winners win, period.
Yeah.
If you aren't winning where you're at now, the chances of you winning somewhere else, low.
Yeah, I agree.
Winners win. It's that simple. But maybe you need to be in a situation where you're not the go-to guy, where people don't look your way, where you can kind of fade off in the background and follow someone else's lead. Like I said, it's not that there's not exceptions to that rule. There are. Sometimes it's a really crappy situation and a crappy team. I don't blame anyone that ever wanted to leave a Jeremy Pruitt coach team. You weren't going to win games there. So I get it. That would be what I call an exception to that rule. But you look at guys that were successful in college, successful in this situation in the NBA, they won everywhere they went.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, I'm not saying they all won national championships, but you look across the board where, you know, whether it be conference championships, they won a lot of games, whatever it may be, they won.
Yeah. Well, and like, I think the transfer portal is great for people like DJ Jefferson, Freddie DeLeon, Ticket Gaines. Like those guys were never going to have a huge role on this team, probably, especially not next year.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if they would have stayed a couple more years, maybe, but like, I understand people want to, especially a guy like Freddie, who was like a top 30 recruit. Like he's probably always been the best player on his team.
Right.
And, you know, him sitting the bench is not feel right. And, you know, he thinks he can go somewhere else and start. Hopefully he does. But it wasn't going to be at Tennessee.
Look at Drew Pember.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's perfect for people like that who, you know, we're going to talk about Elijah Herring here in a second. That was like he wasn't going to have a big impact. And I don't fault those guys for wanting to go start somewhere else. I hope it works out. But it was not going to be here. So if it's not like the Jonas Adu thing just baffles me. It's like, dude, they developed you into an all-SEC player and you want to shoot the ball more? You just went to the Elite Eight, had a chance to go to the Final Four. And I hate this, but I'm going to say it. Some of the reason we didn't go to the Final Four is because of you. So I just don't understand that one at all. It's like,
okay. And also, let's note this, Jonas. You didn't get pulled in the Final Four or in the Elite Eight because of missed shots. If you think that's why you got pulled because of your inability to guard Edie without fouling him.
Mm-hmm.
You got pulled because of foul trouble.
And you couldn't hit shots.
but Rick had a longer leash on him than he does most people in that game.
Oh yeah. I mean
he let him go. He let him fly. Yeah, he let you let it fly. He let you let it fly against Texas. You got way more opportunities than most coaches would give you in the Texas game, especially when you fumbled two underneath the rim early on.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not when you get pulled to the bench, number one, mostly due to just minutes. That's just kind of how the game of basketball works. There's not a lot of 40-minute warriors. Sky Ziegler is one of the few, if you're looking at your own team. You look at Dalton Connect, a lot of fans were asking why he didn't play 40 minutes. And you, like, I don't know the internal conversations. I don't know how that all went, but you want to be a better shooter, go be a better shooter. If you show up in practice, if you show up in scrimmages, if you show up in games and you're knocking down shots, there's not a coach in the world, Rick Barnes included, that's going to tell you not to shoot. Be a better shooter if you want to be a better shooter.
Yeah, and also work on your craft. I mean, I don't know how much he was in the gym, but I know every single game they talked about Dalton Connect and how he's always the last guy in the gym. Every single time. I never heard that about Jonas. And here's the other thing about Jonas. If you think making some of those shots that you miss in the Elite Eight is hard, and you leave somewhere to go shoot a harder shot, that doesn't make any sense. Perfect your craft, and then you expand your game.
Yeah. I'd love to see him. I'd love to see Jonas Adu stay here. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. Looks like it's a done deal. Gonzo. I don't get it. I thought he was a huge piece. He was a huge reason why this. It stinks that you're not wrong. He didn't play his best game in the Elite Eight. Didn't really play it in the throughout the tournament. But he was a big component to what you were able to do this year. Reason you won the SEC regular season championship. One of the reasons you got where you ended up. But he had to be better, and he didn't want to be better here for whatever reason.
Yeah. Whatever. We'll move on. Tennessee did land a commit in the transfer portal. A big score in Darlin Stone Dubar.
I don't think you emphasize big enough.
Big.
He's big.
Which I saw him at the baseball game.
Not that big looking. That's good. You don't want him to carry that weight the way it reads.
Well, yeah, the 6'8 part, I was just like, he's 6'8. I might be 6.
Okay.
But whatever. He looks like a guard. He doesn't look like a post. So I think that it's good to have a lanky wing like that. A guy that scored in bunches, has scored in double figures his 3 years at Hofstra, had a small role his freshman year at Iowa State. But had 17.8 points this season. 6.8 rebounds. He shot 53.9% from the field and 39.9% from three. And I think the biggest selling point with Tennessee in the transfer portal is like, hey, look at this Dalton Connect guy that we have throwing the first pitch at a baseball game. He came from Northern Kentucky or Northern Colorado. Look what you could do.
Yeah, you're right.
And should be a lottery pick. I mean, that's your biggest selling point. I don't even know if Dubar even talked to Connect. I'm sure he talked to Ziegler and Jemai and some of those guys on the team, but even if he didn't, like, that's your selling point is like, look at what this guy did. And you need to replace some of that scoring because you didn't, I mean, other than Dalton, that efficient scoring from deep, where did that come from? It was kind of nobody. I mean, nobody.
Yeah. No, not efficiently, no.
Yeah, Zakai.
You have spells of Zakai. Spells yeah. Josiah.
That's Jordan Ganey was streaky sometimes.
Yeah.
Vescovi just didn't shoot this year. I don't know why. But yeah, it was just you need to get some of that efficient scoring back. And Dubar was the fourth most efficient offensive player in the country. He scored on, I think, 1.15 of the possessions.
Wow.
Or 1.15 points each possession.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts.
Yeah. So
it's a lot of scoring.
Yeah, really, really good scorer, can shoot the three ball. I'd like to see him get to the rim a little bit more. That would be my one kind of like thing for him to do when he gets there is just be able to beat guys off the dribble and use that length to get to the rim. I think it's a solid start in the transfer portal, a guy that they, got on campus pretty quick and coveted and got him to commit before he went somewhere else and visited. So I think that was big.
Yeah, absolutely. And I ran this thought by you in terms of how Tennessee's performed in the transfer portal, but last year being their real first shot at the new age transfer portal. Have we talked about that?
We talked about a little bit of just kind of all the guys
that haven't panned out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to, I think I might've talked about this on Saturday. And so I don't think me and you have talked about it. So Tennessee's obviously struggled in the transfer portal. Jordan Gainey would have been your best transfer if it wasn't Dalton Connect, who had an all-world year, played for National Player of the Year, contended for it. Jordan Gainey had a pretty good year, but by far and away your best transfer, if not for Dalton, by the way. But I think this is Tennessee's, and that's that makes you worried for next year. But I really think last year was Tennessee's first go-around with the new age transfer portal. Everyone prior was kind of in the right as it was coming up, not as – like we had a lot of grad transfers, for example. Mm-hmm. And so when I thought about that, I'm not as discouraged about the idea of having to go get transfers. Who else is kind of the quote-unquote present-day type transfer besides those two that you can think of that might be here for more than a year, for example?
That like previously?
Yeah. Like that was a Jordan Gainey type transfer who, you know, you got more than 1 year with him.
I mean, Urosh was one.
Urosh. Yeah. But he was also had to sit out.
Yeah. James Daniel was just 1 year. Tariq Key was just 1 year.
All grad transfers, I'm pretty sure. Those yeah. two. I know Tyre Key was. I can't remember James Daniel. And then you had
I know EJ and Asiki, he transferred after his 1 year at Tennessee. That didn't work out. God, that was a mess.
Was he also a grad transfer?
I think he transferred somewhere else after Tennessee.
Yeah, but he probably would have had a year of eligibility. He didn't blow any of it at Tennessee, surely. Could be wrong about that, but
it's true.
Yeah, so I'm not as discouraged as I previously was when I kind of thought about that. You were successful this year in the transfer portal.
Mm. So yeah, I think my one thing is like I just wanted to be like I want to get more of those guys like as Zakai, you know, like we thought Tobey was going to be, like those kind of players that you're going to have here for 4 years and embraces the culture, has that veteran presence in a couple years and kind of leads that club. I mean, that's why Tennessee's been so good, is they've had that leadership of guys that just came up through the program. Now, Dalton Connect was a one-off, but guys like Grant and Admiral and Josiah and Zakai and Santi, I mean, that Fulkerson, I guess, was one. I mean, you just didn't have – you kind of sprinkled, like, talented freshmen and transfers with these, you know, guys that – those veteran leadership guys, and it's worked. Now, next year, it's like you have some of those in Jemai and Zakai, but you also really don't have any more, like, after that. So my one thing is, like, man, you got to land some more guys than one out of high school next year.
Yeah, and I definitely that's a question for me in the portal is, can Tennessee's culture mindset, you know, be as big? Like, is that going to be a factor for them anymore, getting fresh faces in that you need to be immediate impacts? I don't know if –
I mean,
defense be as stingy? Will,
yeah,
you know, I have a lot of questions about how Rick Barnes runs his program in this new age. You obviously last year was a bit of a anomaly, perfect storm, where you had 2 6-year guys on your roster, mixed with guys that have been here for several years that still have eligibility in Zakai, Jonas, Jemai, and then you thankfully just had studs that came in. For 1 year, Jordan Gainey had more than one, but for 1 year at the time. Last year was kind of a perfect storm of that. Maybe a good time to get acclimated, hopefully, for Rick Barnes and his staff, because that's what you're going to be faced with in the future. Like, that's just what it's going to be. You're going to have guys that help you, help lead you to an Elite Eight that hit the door. Look for brighter skies.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, like, I mean, if you don't fit that mold, like if you don't come in, if the first thing you come in and be like, how much am I making? I don't feel like you're going to be at Tennessee. I don't know that for sure, but I just feel like Rick Barnes is just like, no, probably not the guy that we want to come in for a year. Probably not going to work. But a guy like Igor Milicic Jr., his dad's a coach, I think, in Europe. I mean, he's a guy that would probably fit that mold. Came from Virginia, where it's very selfless basketball. the selfless is, and they don't score a whole lot probably sometimes. But, yeah, a guy that kind of fits that, like, obviously talented, mm-hmm. but also, like, has that mentality of, like, I can take tough coaching.
Right.
And stuff like that. So, I'm sure some of it, like, they weed out guys quick with Rick Barnes as the head coach, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an element to it. Yeah, I don't know how they handle NIL. I mean, apparently our guys just in any sport aren't making money. It's either our NIL is the best or NIL is the worst.
It is crazy that we're seeing dollar amounts.
Are they real?
I don't know. I mean, that was the report coming out for Damian Martinez. Now, is that true? I don't know, but like $400,000, and that wasn't good enough for you? Here, and like I don't know if we were gonna pursue him anyway, but there was a tweet out that he was gonna visit. I thought that was strange, and then he canceled the visit. I'm just like, did he just do that to impress one team and maybe get some bigger NIL money? I don't know. But that would have been a weird one to get on. I mean, I would love to have a 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah.
But is that – do you like what you have in Cam Seldon and Dylan Sampson and Payne Lewis to Sean Bishop? Because if you do land Damian Martinez, some of those guys are out.
And for $500,000, can you guarantee us a 1,000-yard season?
Yeah, I know, right?
Because that's a question I have.
It's a lot different.
Yeah, that's a question I have for sure.
I mean, his quarterback had a really good year, and he was absolutely terrible at Clemson. So I don't know if I can take anything for what the Pac-12 does.
I mean, that the
RIP to the Pac-12.
In peace. Yeah. Yeah. We should reignite the Pac-12. We should do that.
Okay. I think we should
games have to be played after 10 p.m. Eastern. We will not kick off before 10 p.m. Eastern.
I think you just do like smaller level schools and just make the Pac-12.
Yeah, I agree. And all schools have to – you get Boise State. That's your first pickup. And then every other school has to get new turf that is their primary color.
Okay. Eastern Washington in already.
100%. They're going to change their field. That'll save the conference some money.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, this could be fun. I'm in.
I can't remember if it's Boise State that trademarked, or I guess copyrighted would be the right term. They copyrighted fields, artificial fields that aren't green. So if you have an artificial, if any school you see with, I think it's Boise State, might be Eastern Washington. If there's any school out there that has a non-green colored artificial field, they pay a royalty to Boise State to have that. Is that not nuts?
That is nuts.
How can you copyright that idea?
We should rip it up. Make them do it again.
Make them redo the blue?
Yeah.
We want more of a late color blue, so even more birds die on your field. Which I don't understand that. How are birds? I think there's a bird serial killer in Boise, Idaho that we're not addressing. Because aren't birds going after when they dive into the water? Aren't they going after? Aren't they hunting? Like, are ducks just seeing water and crash landing in water often? Is that? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know.
Every time I've seen a bird dive bomb into water, they seem to come up with a fish.
Are they just – yeah, I just feel like that's a – I don't know. They have little fish painted
on the field? The football program's the serial killer.
Yeah.
Killer. They make every field that's not a green color. They're like, you have to put fish in it just in case.
Yeah.
We think birds are government drones and we want them all gone.
Yeah, Idaho hates fish. You heard it here.
Hates birds.
Sorry.
They could hate fish too. We don't know yet. We don't know. That's not a
problem. How are they killing the fish is what we want to know now. Right. We know how they're killing the birds.
Send me out to Boise to investigate.
Yeah.
All expenses paid. I'll do it. I'll take one for the team.
Going back to the transfer portal a little bit. So I mentioned the Charlotte transfer, Igor Milicic. He averaged 12.8 points, 8.5 rebounds, shot 37.6% from the field, 6'10", 225. So, you know, a guy that could play that maybe like three or a stretch four, and have Tennessee can have some length, have some shooting out there. I think that would be a good pickup to have. Again, started his career at Virginia, has been at Charlotte. I think he was third team all conference at Charlotte. And then Kay Tyson took his official visit this week from Belmont. He was the second best 3-point shooter in the country, shooting 46.5% from three, which is unreal.
That is unreal. You just like that Igor's name is Igor, though.
Oh, yeah, Igor. I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but sounds right. Yeah, the kid from Belmont, 6'7", like a wing, 16.2 points, 5.9 rebounds. Also taking a visit to UNC. He's from, I think, the Charlotte area, so I know that's – I know when you think UNC, you're like, oh, okay, well, that's probably a done deal. But we've actually recruited North Carolina pretty well.
Yeah.
Bishop Boswell is from there. Jonas Adu is from there. Grant Williams. I mean, we've done pretty well in the North Carolina, Charlotte area. So,
yeah,
maybe we can land us another one in the portal. That'd be nice.
Well, I mean, you are talking to Ricky from Hickory, so.
That's true. And we need an exciting white.
Yeah, we're going to have to – I feel like we have to, unfortunately, retire exciting white.
Okay.
With Dalton. Like, he is the exciting white. But okay. there's another one I think Ryan Shumpert tweeted out. Another wine sign that was another version of that. I think that's what the next guy gets. And if he's good enough to own it, it's his. We'll find another. I think we do. Yeah, we have to move on though from exciting white. Unfortunately, it was used a lot this year, and I think it's Dalton's.
Okay.
I think when we retire number three, we put exciting white as the last name.
Okay, in the rafters.
Yeah, or just white. This is a white.
Everybody would know. Oh, there's Dalton. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that guy. I don't have anything else for basketball, really.
No, I don't either. I guess the next thing we'll get to is transfer portal is also open for football too. So Elijah Herring enters the portal.
Which, you know, sucks to see him go, but also, like you said, that's one that makes sense.
Yeah. Like he wasn't going to play. And, you know, he got kind of forced into that starting role last year when Keenan Peely went down and did okay. You know, he just struggled in space. And, you know, I think when you had guys kind of nipping at your heels, like Aaron Carter, who dealt with some injuries last year that probably, you know, kept Elijah in that starting role. Jeremiah Tienlander was just a freshman, so he was kind of still learning as he went. And you know how those defensive coaches, they love guys with experience. So, you know, I just think, you know, he was your leading tackler. But I don't think this is a huge shock to really anybody that pays attention to Tennessee. Like, he wasn't going to start this year. It was going to be Keenan Peely and Jeremiah Tielander, Aaron Carter, and they absolutely love what they have in Edwin Spillman. So I just don't know. I think it was going to be hard for Elijah to be even in the two deep, which is insane. But yeah. I think you're only getting better at linebacker. And again, it's kind of one of those things that we were talking about getting recruited over. Like, Tennessee's just getting better recruits on defense. They're getting, you know, look at the offensive linemen that have been on campus the last couple weeks. Tons of five stars. Like, Tennessee is getting a different level of player on campus. And, you know, I think that speaks to your program. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that Elijah Herring is leaving. Like, again, I hope he does great things. Like, it probably suits him a little bit more to go to the Big Ten or ACC somewhere where he doesn't have to play in as much space like the SEC.
Right.
But I want to mention one thing about him that I don't think this can be understated. He was the first recruit Josh Heupel landed. He was the first recruit to believe in that vision. So I think that's huge for him. And, you know, I wish him nothing but the best. I mean, his brother's still here, so I don't think there's any kind of ill feelings or hard feelings or anything like that. I think it was just, hey, I want to play, and I don't think it's going to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's another guy you were talking about, guys that transfer portal is good for. I think you mentioned his name when you said it, but yeah, that's another guy that I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think that's what the transfer portal should be for, 100%.
Yeah.
It's guys like agreed. That.
Agreed.
Like, guys wanting 500K because they're getting 400K at their previous school. That's what's ruining. That's what gives the transfer portal a terrible name. But again, if I was in the same shoes, I don't know what I would do. Probably
this. I'd take the money and run.
Yeah.
Take the money and run. Oh, take the money and run. Steve Miller Band. Look it up. Stuff. All right. You know, one thing I need to knock, maybe people are just enjoying it and listening to it, but I don't know about, well, first let me do this. Instead of complaining, let me give a shout out. Tyler Childress told a story last night and he mentioned Rupp Arena and it erupted in boos.
Yeah,
sure. Love that. Then he went on to, he's like, don't do that. Don't boo me. He goes, all right, let me try this again. Lexington, Kentucky also got boos. I was like, good job, guys. Well done. We know how it's done in this arena. Then later on, they were just kind of jamming and the pianist, the guy on the keys, I don't know what you'd call him in the band. He started playing this, like, I don't know if you've listened to any of his new music, like the Jubilee version of like Rocky Top. And it took people a while to figure out he's playing Rocky Top. Mm-hmm. And then they were way behind on the claps. It was kind of embarrassing. But we did boo Rupp, so that's good. And Lexington, so that's good.
Yeah.
Can't win them all. Can't win them all.
Can't. Before we get into – I don't really have anything else. Do you have – I guess we can do segments.
Transfer portal makes me an old grumpy man, and I hate it. That's the thing I hate most about the transfer portal.
And stuff. It is fun to see, like – I mean, Alabama seems like they're imploding too. Like, two of their best players dipped. I don't know. Whatever. You already have Kentucky players following Cal to Arkansas. Yeah, whatever.
I'm sure it was just a Kentucky blue jersey that made him bad.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just kind of excited to see what Tennessee gets out of it. You know, obviously they have some work to do, and, you know, we'll see what they end up with. But,
yeah,
good start so far with Dubar. Before we get into segments, guys, go check out our good friends at Roback. Best quality clothing there is out on the market. Go check them out at roback.com. Use promo code MoreImportantIssues for 20% off your first purchase. They have the Tennessee polos. They got some Masters themed stuff. They also have the volunteer polo, so it's got the TriStar on it. It's really cool, and, you know, they got polos, hoodies, joggers, shirts, pants, swimming trunks now, putting covers. I mean, they got everything. So go check them out at roback.com. Use promo code MoreImportantIssues for 20% off your first purchase. All right.
Go do that, please. We'd appreciate it.
Yep. Stupidity.
Oh, boy. Buckle up. I'm just kidding. I think I have maybe two.
Okay.
Well, we'll probably get all that. Okay, let me. I wish I had more baseball guy, like baseball guys on here. Like, I wish maybe Deuce was around, but we'll go. So what do you think the hardest sport for a professional athlete to transfer to? Does that make sense? Like, what do you think would be the hard, not necessarily the hardest thing in a sport, just sport overall for a professional athlete to go and just be good at? Not like great, but look the part, I should say.
Have they ever played this sport before?
Maybe not organized, at least.
I mean, like, just from my perspective, and I'm not a professional athlete by any sense of the imagination, but I think golf is the hardest sport that I've
tried to play.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one because there's so many, especially like growing up baseball, which a lot of Americans have played baseball at some point in their lives, they've swung a baseball bat. So I think that's a good one.
Like, being athletic just does not
matter
for you. It helps some, just like hand-eye coordination, but that's everything. But
yeah,
in terms of just being athletic, it doesn't do a lot for you.
No, the mechanics are very different than anything you've learned to do. Mm-hmm. A good golf swing, while it looks natural when it's done, it feels unnatural to try and do.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I think that one, though, it's so mechanical that it can be taught fairly easy. That's like, I don't know if that makes sense the way I'm saying that, but like, you obviously, if you like if someone like you, athletic and eye coordination, if you went and got lessons for 2 months, you still might not be good, but you would look the part.
Gotcha.
Because it's so mechanical. But that is a good one. And I think that even more so, number one, proves how hard golf is, but also proves that it doesn't matter how athletic you are or talented you are, there's some sport out there that's going to make you look dumb.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I asked this is because there was a video of I wish I'd screenshot the actual video. Who was it now? It was a NFL quarterback throwing a baseball at getting ready to throw out the first pitch.
Oh, was it CJ Stroud?
It was CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
And I didn't think he looked that dumb. It didn't look good, but I was like, he doesn't look dumb doing it. Yeah. But anyways, it was going around and someone was like, someone tweeted, this is why I'll always say baseball is the hardest sport, which I think baseball has a lot of unique elements to the game. And I don't disagree that if you take one singular thing out of a sport, hitting a baseball, especially an MLB pitcher's baseball, is next to impossible for anyone to do.
Yeah.
But that's also just like a different understanding of everything. If you put any professional athlete on ice skates, they can't even compete in the sport of hockey. It's like, it's far and away hockey in terms of just overall sport. If you go pick 100 athletes, none of them have probably ever skated or there's a good majority of them that haven't probably ever been on ice in their life.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't even be allowed to compete in the sport at any level. They could not go and participate in a little tykes hockey match because they can't get on skates. Whereas like, I could probably go, you know, take a 7-year-old's fastball yard. he might strike me out once, but I think I hit a dinger once.
So yeah, like, that's what I'm just saying, thinking about hockey, but yeah, you're right.
And there's exceptions to that for sure. But, you know, guys that grew up skating, stuff like that. But I think just majority of any professional athlete, if you handed them ice skates, they would potentially get injured.
Yeah, you might die. But,
yeah, someone said that or someone tweeted that at him. They're like, it's clearly hockey. And he was like, well, I think that's a close number two. And I was like, no, it's number one by far. By far. Because would I be successful if they threw me in to a major league game? Absolutely not. But I would be, I could participate. I could stand in the batter's box.
Yeah.
I could get myself to right field. if I took, I'm trying to
just first pitch though. You might step out of that batter's box.
Well, I didn't say I'd stand in it the whole time. Yeah, okay. But I could get myself there.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that if I handed skates to, they could not get out the center ice for the faceoff.
Oh, I'm one of them. Yeah, I couldn't imagine not even getting to center ice and then they blow the whistle and somebody is throwing haymakers at you. Trying to protect yourself and stand up and throw punches. Yeah. No, hell no.
It's such a different sport that it almost shouldn't count as a normal sport. You're taking the concepts of basketball, football, soccer, baseball, when you factor in using a stick, and you're doing all that and putting it on ice. Yeah. It's psychotic. But yeah, and then that guy, someone said something about the guy continued on being just the dumbest human being I've ever met in my entire life. Someone said something about how baseball players all have to have elbow surgery. And he was like, do you not think quarterbacks have to have shoulder surgery? Correct me if I'm wrong, Landon. Most quarterbacks end up having shoulder surgery, not from throwing the football, yeah, but from taking the hits and being driven into the ground by 300-pound men.
Right.
Typically. Andrew Luck didn't retire from football because his arm got tired. I was like, this just has to be the dumbest human being I've ever seen operate in my entire life. Yeah, this is the guy that's probably like, women shouldn't be allowed to talk about sports, while he just rambles off these awful takes for no reason. Just on a Wednesday, he's like, hey guys, I've got a real bad one for you. Are you ready?
Yeah, speaking of real bad ones and women in sports, did you see the reporter with Caitlin Clark?
Oh no, what happened?
I guess it was like her like going to the Indiana Fever. Like it was her first press conference with the Fever. And he was like, hey, and just like did the heart to her. And Caitlin was like, oh, you like that? And he was like, I like that you're here. And then she said, yeah, I do that at my family after every game. He said, start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine.
Is he trying to like Travis Kelce, Caitlin Clark?
I don't know. I was like, dude, please stop. Like,
is that that's a beat reporter for him?
Yeah.
that is probably that makes my skin crawl. That's so creepy. Pull his credentials now before he follows her home.
Last episode, we talked about that woman in the 70s, like hitting it off the tee box, and somebody's like, please make her stop. Like, during that question, I was like, make him stop.
I need to find that video so you can see it, because it looks so fake, and I'm nine. And then it, mullet, like, it just sounds so.
But yeah, just a terrible, terrible interview or question.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even really a question. He just did that to her. And she's like,
God, she's getting paid $75,000 a year to sit through that.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh. Here, I'll just let you kind of hear it first. Here's her first teeing off. You can hear how bad it is. That was her first one. She had a couple of people in the shin. That's number two.
It is.
Make her cut it out. I don't know if you can hear it.
I can't hear it.
I'm gonna send it to you. A girl yells like way in the background, make her cut it out. Imagine being like, I don't know if that's on the first hole or what, but there's no way you finish that round after someone in the crowd just begged for mercy. They weren't heckling you. They weren't Zach Johnsoning you. They just, please stop.
Make her stop.
So a couple of things about women's sports, since we're on the topic. One of my stupidities, they're naming the coach of the year after Gino Auriemma. Does Title IX even exist? Like, I thought we were supposed to be furthering women. Are there no good women's historical figures that you can name the award after?
I know one.
Educate me. I don't know. I couldn't think of a single one. It's just men keep popping into my mind. I mean, what would women's basketball be, Landon, without men? I think that's what they're saying.
Yeah. What an award. Again, more meaningless than the Heisman Trophy.
I have to think that only one person made the decision to name it after him, because there's no way a boardroom full of people said, we're going to name it after him. Everybody's good with this decision. Okay. And left. There's just no way. It had to be made by one person with zero checks and balances. There's no way 8, 9, 10 people are that collectively stupid.
Yeah. Especially name one person that likes him.
Well, and I don't even mean from the perspective of a Tennessee fan, it's obvious who it should be named after, but from a perspective of this day and age, you want to further the women's game, and you name it after a male, just, you can't be that dumb. There's no way.
There should be a riot about that. That's unreal. I mean, like, imagine Dawn Staley next year and she gets that award. She's going to be like, I don't want that.
That'd be awesome if she did, by the way.
She'll either win it or Kim Caldwell will win it.
Oh, yeah.
I have Josh Norris. He's
I was hoping you had this one.
Okay. Yeah, he's a fantasy football guy. I said, per Pro Football Focus, Jalen Wright had just 4 carries when facing 8-plus defenders in the box and just 5 total outside runs. Mickey Mouse offense. I mean, Mickey Mouse offense is where I just want to start, because that's the dumbest thing. When are people going to just accept that this offense is just good? Like, there's nothing Mickey Mouse. It wins games. It scores points. That is the total reason why you have an offense, why you run a system, is to score points. How is that Mickey Mouse? I don't understand what that means.
Also, what are the defenses that this offense plays if it's Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, if we want to say anything is Mickey Mouse, what I think of Mickey Mouse, I think of basic junior peewee football. If any offense in the country is Mickey Mouse, it's a team we played in our bowl game. That is a Mickey Mouse offense.
I think it's a grown men with blonde hair.
Yeah.
Named Josh Norris.
Yeah. I mean, and then he goes on to say, like, oh, yeah, like, good offense or scores points, but I don't really watch a ton of college football. Well, no shit.
That's my favorite one is, and then some Tennessee fans were like, I don't think he's attacking the offense. He called it a Mickey Mouse offense. I'm just like, what planet am I living in? Yeah. What planet am I living in where someone's like, I don't think he's attacking the offense?
5 total outside runs. I don't think anybody, but he had to throw that little shot of Mickey Mouse offense. Yeah. And I think that was the only reason why he was going to get clicks out of it.
Yeah. And some people said, he was like, they're right. It's tough to evaluate running backs when they're playing offenses like this. I'm like, well, majority of college running backs playing offense is similar to this. Yes, it's run a little bit different, but similar, like in terms of spreading it wide and how they operate fast paced. Most running backs that are going to play in the NFL because of where they play are playing in offenses like these. So that's just not true, by the way. And then forgive Jalen Wright for playing in an offense for 2 years with a quarterback that was a threat and defenders couldn't. Teams couldn't load the box on you. Also, cherry pick us playing Austin Peay.
Yeah, I did see that.
Who's just like their entire game plan, respect them. Your job's to win at all cost. Come in there and gimmick the hell out of us on all 3 sides of the football. Also, Josh, there are 3 sides of the football: offense, defense, and special teams, brother. There are 3 sides. You probably didn't know that because you don't watch football. But yeah, so they gimmicked the hell out of us and it was largely effective. But that's the screenshot you grabbed, by the way. Do it against Georgia. It's not going to look like that.
Also, who in the world has 8 defenders in the box in this day and age? Not even in college. Who is doing that in the NFL? Yeah. He's hardly ever going to get a run with 8 men in the box unless you're on the goal line.
And I'll, Yeah, and I'll tell you too. I mean, I don't know what his stats are. Pull up his stats from Pitt last year. Will you? Well, I guess he was probably – oh, gosh, was he still injured? I'm trying to remember that Pitt game. I feel like we had a running back have 70 yards. I don't remember if it was him or Small, though.
Oh, you said last year, didn't you?
Yeah. We didn't pay Pitt this year, correct? Yeah. It all runs together. So my thing about Pitt.
47 yards.
47? How many did Jabari have? 47 on 9 carries?
Yeah.
Not too shabby. He's averaging almost – he's averaging over 5 yards a carry there. Sorry, I should have told you to pull up the box score. I made you work way too hard on that.
No, you're good.
So, anyways, my point about that is that's not a fantastic game, not a bad game. Probably 17
yards.
So, wow, he had more. Probably one of the only teams that Tennessee is going to face ever again in the history of mankind that is going to go man-to-man outside on you with maybe a safety over top is Pitt. And Tennessee made him pay in the passing game in the second half, as we saw.
Yeah.
But 47 yards on 9 carries? I don't think any NFL scout's going to raise their nose to that. I think it's, if you have 9 carries and you run for 47 yards, they're going to be okay with that. But also, we're talking about teams loading the box. Well, let me introduce you to one of the only teams in the country that does that now.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand that. Like, they're continuing to pick out Tennessee's players on offense and being like, oh, this is why they won't be successful in the NFL. Jalen Hyatt was too open, and now Jalen Wright was only good because he went against light boxes. Dude, I mean, that's what every OC is there to do.
Like, and by the way, Jalen Hyatt matchups. Jalen Hyatt, sure, he's not on the proved you completely wrong train, but as far as rookie years go for quote unquote, you know, undervalued wide receiver, not too shabby. Johnson spent a lot of money on him, but they're getting spend money on anyone.
Yeah, they would have played him a little bit more, they'd probably have a better record. Yeah, I just don't understand the Mickey Mouse offense. I'm tired of seeing like that crap. I mean, Ed, we play fast, but it wasn't a reason why Darnell Wright wasn't a top 10 draft pick.
Yeah.
But Jalen Hyatt was too open. Jalen Wright, light boxes. I mean,
also Darnell Wright against a, you know, historic offense that just lined up and ran the football at you for no apparent reason, looked like he was going to phase out and be lucky to get on an XFL contract. So I think all things considered, it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about Jeremy Pruitt's offense before we talk about Josh Heupel. I mean,
good all right, job. Well, okay, that's me and you. And I was like, no, I did not mean that. I didn't want to do that.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I got one more. Do you have another one?
No, that's it for me, I believe, unless something came before. Yeah, I had Josh Norris on there. Don't worry.
I have Shiloh Sanders tweeting out, or on his Instagram story, says, defensive transfers DM me. Defense transfers DME. Offense transfers DME. At Shedeur Sanders, this is not last chance you.
Which I love.
If you're doing that on your Instagram story, I got a little bit of news of the type of players that are going to DM you. It's not the players that you want at the University of Colorado, I'll tell you that.
We should just forward them all the DMs that we get of people who think we're some kind of scouting service, I guess.
I might just DM him and be like, yo, thinking about it.
You got room for one more, brother?
Yeah. Check out my highlight tape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, send him my huddle from high school.
Yeah, hey, I've got a nasty fake punt somewhere on my huddle. I'll upload that in a heartbeat.
You're in.
I'm still disappointed Pat McAfee's never given me recognition for that. And my hot take is that my fake punt was so much better than his that goes viral every year that he just doesn't want to show it.
That's my
take.
But
yeah, this is
also. I would have gone for six if I had just someone selfishly lay a block out there. I'd do it on myself.
No, last chance you. The fact that you have to like preface that, it's not a good look.
No. Also, we need last chance you back, don't we?
Yeah.
Like
I do love that everything that pops up where like a kid hits a teacher or like any kind of like weird video that goes on, he's just like, put me in a room with this kid. And I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Shadur says that?
No, Jason Brown.
Oh. Well, Landon, that is a loaded question because there is a lot wrong with Jason Brown. So I don't know if you want to go there necessarily with him.
Yeah. It's entertaining for sure, but
it is. Yeah. I love that too. Like people are like, no, he's exactly what those kids needed. No, that's what those kids got, plenty of just yelling and berating them their entire lives. I think they could have got that back home.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't need no Jason Brown.
Good Lord, man. Yeah.
He is last chance you. Honestly, I think.
Put me in a room with him.
Yeah, I think underage kids. What? I think Colorado should hire Jason Brown.
Yeah. Meet your new Hitler, buddy. Yeah. Meet your new Hitler.
Yeah.
Just by far and away the most psychotic thing anyone could say to anyone, let alone a German student.
Yeah, just let it rip.
I do love Last Chance You, by the way.
Yeah.
Also, my favorite Jason Brown moment that if we ever get him on this podcast, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, that I'm going to ask him about is the clip where he's yelling at that ref, and he's like, I'll show you the tape on Monday. He said it. Jason said it wasn't a catch. They ruled it a catch touchdown. I'll show you the tape on Monday. Sure enough, catch. I was like, I wonder if he ever sent over that tape or not.
Yeah. My favorite is like his pregame speech chant that he does. I'm just like, who in the
repeat world? After me.
Yeah. It's just MF that.
Oh hey, fire God. Me up, baby. Fire yeah. me up.
Oh, they were fired up.
Yeah, they were loving it. I love that hey, credit to that team, and Jason won't ever give him credit for this. I know. They were trying to be in it for a moment, and then they were just like, wait, what? Where do we go with this?
Yeah. Bobby Bruce FU was an all-time moment.
honestly, probably the all-time moment.
Yeah.
Golly, man. All right. Well, guys, sure. It's been fun, as always.
Yeah. Guys, we'll be back. Coming to you a day early. Sorry about that. Sorry for the change of plans. But we're not sorry.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all, though.
Yeah. Thank y'all for coming in, and we'll be back Sunday talking Tennessee baseball, probably talking more of the transfer portal, different stuff like that. Stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter. Also, subscribe on YouTube if you haven't already.
Oh, yeah. Do that. Forgot again that we have that.
Yeah. We're trying to grow that very slowly, but we're trying. So
one day.
Thank y'all again. We're bringing the boat in, and we out.